Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Well, it is a blessing to be in church. Amen. Thank God for the freedom to worship here this morning with you and to be here together. I'm reminded often that the likelihood of us all being here together in this same context with the same amount of people and the same exact people will likely never happen again. This is a special time that God has us together this morning. And this cold December morning, I'm thankful for that cold weather coming in. All right. I know some of you are thinking, no, Pastor. No, and I already know some of you are already saying that. I can see your heads. But hey, Christmas with it being 15 degrees, can you beat that? Some of you say, yeah, go to South Florida. But I tell you, my mom was just telling me how nice she and a friend were able to take a quick trip for a few days down to Key West. Last week, and she said, oh, Brent, she said, I'd love to move to Florida. And, it was so nice there and just one of those things you just enjoy, the warmth of the air, the breeze and the sunshine. But I'm the kind of person, I like seasons. I like it. I like to have a little bit, you know, and it's going to get time, January, February. And thank God in Georgia, spring comes in February. Amen. My wife taught me that. She said, up in Minnesota, we get spring probably around June time. And May comes in May. But nevertheless, it's good to be thankful for the little things. Amen. And I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad to be with you. And I love you. And I thank God for you. Romans chapter 7, as we continue our study, we have yet to dive into this chapter. I've been holding off a little bit, just waiting on the Holy Spirit to give me the green light, and I feel like He has this morning. I don't know how far we'll get. I do know that we'll be going through. My goal is to get through verse 6, but let's just see what the Lord will do in our hearts this morning. Let's read together. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Paul says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter." With God's help, I want to preach on the subject of the two laws. Or I could also refer to this message as the two husbands. The two husbands. Would you pray with me? Father, I am so thankful for, Lord, your Spirit ministering and working and speaking in our midst. I thank you for the beautiful songs of singing and glorifying you, Lord Jesus. I'm thankful for the testimonies of salvation. Oh, Lord. Lord, every one of us that have been saved have a glorious testimony. That you would save sinners like us. You're awesome, Lord. And we love you. And Lord, I just want to thank you for this time that we have looking at Romans 7. Lord, I confess to you that I have a hard time working through some of these verses. But God, I believe I understand what at least the main point is. And I pray that as we look to the Word of God, Spirit of God, You would be the teacher. I pray that You would illumine our hearts and minds. And God, I pray that You would make application to each of us right where we are. And so, Lord, again, we commit our service to Thee in Your glory. And we ask You just to continue to take the lead as we follow. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We see here Paul gives an interesting illustration in the first three verses. Now, I do want to make a point here that I do not believe his main teaching here is on the subject of marriage and divorce. I do believe the point he is making is in the doctrine that he brought up in chapter 6, he's speaking and teaching on the doctrine of sanctification. That's his main point, in his main subject, I should say. But he's using the marriage as an illustration. And I would say also as an analogy and understand that it's not necessarily something that we need to get confused about, that we need to get distracted about, but nevertheless, we understand that God is teaching us through an illustration of the marriage. Now, one of the things that's beautiful about this as we get into chapter 7 is that we understand that in Romans 6, 7, and 8, the subject of Paul's teaching and preaching is sanctification. That is our lives as Christians living out for the Lord. Living out for His glory. And Paul had a lot of opposition, especially from the Jewish people, his brethren, on criticizing him on how he spoke about the law. And how he taught how the law is to be used now in our lives. And quite frankly, he is going to deal with those objections, if you will. And that's pretty common through this letter. You'll see him often ask a question. Well, who's asking the question? Is it Paul just thinking of somebody that's going to oppose and to interject that question? Or is it somebody that is actually there in the Roman church that's saying, hey, you're off, Paul. You're wrong about the law. And so Paul is making some things clear. And, you know, another way that you could put a subject line on this chapter is this. This deals with the believer's new relationship with the law. You know, we have a new relationship with the law since we've been saved. And Paul's making it clear that, listen, the law is going to, he's going to say it. We'll look at it there. I don't know if we'll look at it in this message. But he states it very clearly there down further in the chapter in verse 12 that the law is holy, it's just, and it's good. So let me say at the very beginning here, Paul is not speaking negatively about the law. But he is setting the record straight that the law is misapplied in many ways and many times by many different types of people. And he's wanting to clarify that. You see, the husband in this analogy is symbolic of the law. He brings this up very clearly, and that is because when we are born into this world, as verse 1 says, we are under the law. We are married to the law, if you use that analogy. We are married to the law, because notice what it says in verse 1. It says, he how that the law hath dominion, that means rule or control, over a man as long as he what? That's talking about every person that comes into this world. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of religious affiliation you have or what kind of background you have. Everybody, the Pope included, everybody, in fact, I'll say this very clearly, even the mother of Jesus, Mary, she was born a sinner. And she was bound under the law, just like every one of us, and she needed to be saved, just like every one of us. And thank God she did get saved. She knew that the son that she bore, she knew that gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ was her Savior. But nevertheless, we are all, as Paul made very clear in chapters 3 especially, it was crystal clear to us, that all are concluded guilty under the law. And we studied about how we are set free from that guilt and salvation in the very fact that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law when He laid His life on the cross and shed His precious blood for every one of us. And I love the way 1 John puts it. There's a verse in there. No, I'm sorry. It's in 1 Timothy. I read it just recently. But it basically states that the Lord Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world, but especially to them that believe. You remember that. Jesus died for every human being. But especially those that believe are going to be saved. But we see that there's something about this marriage and this illustration. The point of the illustration is that the woman who represents the people, you and me, and then the husband representing the law is bound to that law as long as we live until, you guessed it, we get born again. We get saved. We come to know Jesus. That's when there's a death. That's when we're a death, because remember what we studied in Romans chapter 6. Remember, we died with Christ. So therefore, we were buried with Him in the likeness of His death. And then the Bible says we were raised up together with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. That's our identification. That's what that symbolized up there. That there had been a decision to trust Jesus as Savior. And that's what the water, standing up in the water, is symbolic of. Standing up is symbolic of the death. And then when they go down into the water is the likeness, it's in the likeness of His burial, being buried, and then coming up is the likeness of the resurrection. It's symbolic. That's what happened. But if you get anything from me today, brethren, please get this. And we're gonna go through it again, and you know, because it's gonna take us probably a couple messages, at least three, to get through chapter 7. But I want to tell you that when it comes to salvation, we cannot be saved by following the law. No man is justified by the law. The Bible is crystal clear on that. By the works of the law shall no man be justified. But I want to tell you just as authoritatively and confidently and boldly, there has never been a person that has been sanctified by the law. The law, note this as Bible students, the law never gives life. The law doesn't give life in the sense that in the Ten Commandments, the law itself does not give life. And the reason I say that is because the law was not intended to give life. The law was intended to show us that we needed life. It was a schoolmaster. It was a true instructor to lead us to the point that we don't have life. That we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And when we come to Christ, it's that element that God uses to draw our hearts to realize, I need life. And life is found in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where it's found. But I want to tell you, it's the same way with sanctification. I like what one preacher said. He says, We don't know Christ. Let me get this straight. We don't find Christ by becoming more holy. We follow Christ and become more holy. And sometimes we get that cart before the horse. And that's what Paul is going to really emphasize here, that when you seek to live the new life that you have in salvation, when you got saved, you're no longer under the dominion of the law. And the old man who was bound under the law in sin has now, he's dead. Remember, we studied in chapter 6. Remember the illustration I gave that the boss? We have a new boss. The old boss got fired. Amen. He's dead. He's gone off the scene. And he doesn't have any authority in my life anymore. And for us as Christians to let Him come in our life thinking He still has a job, it's wrong. And we're going to live defeated lives when we keep letting Him come back as if He's the boss. I have a new boss. You have a new boss if you're a believer. And His name is Jesus. And he's a great one. He's a wonderful master. And that's what Paul was teaching us, that we need to remember what are the three things. And even Brother Thomas Engle came and preached on it. It is the first of all to what? It is to know. And then it is to reckon. And then it is to yield. We yield to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will produce that beautiful fruit that only God can. Let me say it like this. My righteousness is not by keeping the law. My righteousness is Christ Himself. And here it is. I wrote it down. I'm going to quote it the right way. Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. It's so important. And I want us to just focus a little bit more. And I'm going to look at some of these other verses. But notice in verse 6, I want us to focus on that theme of the newness of the Spirit. The newness of the Spirit. As opposed to what? As it says there. It says the oldness of the letter. The oldness of the letter. And when you got saved, you were given a new life, as we have talked about and discussed. You were given a new mission. You were given a new mindset. You were given new desires and all of those things. And that is the newness of the Holy Spirit. As opposed before, the law was always hovering over us and showing us how short we fell. I remember when I got saved. One of the fears I remember having is the fact that I never could match up to being a Christian. And I've talked to people about that. You know, I really have. And it burns me when I talk to somebody and they say, "Preacher, I'll never match up. I'll never be able to fulfill the law. I can't keep up that type of standard." And you know what? They were exactly right. They are exactly right. And I'm exactly right. But here's the beautiful truth that Paul is teaching here. He's saying, when you get saved, when you come to know Christ, and you have that newness of life, it's going to be Christ Jesus who fulfills that law. You see what he's teaching here. For the Jew, their mind was always strictly on the law. It was the law, the Ten Commandments, and then the 613, and then the traditions of men that would be piled on top of those through the years. And it would be, that was all the focus, where eventually, ladies and gentlemen, the law became an idol to many Jews. And where it was abused and it was elevated. By the way, do you know that good things can become idols? Ministry can become an idol. It's a good thing, but I can make ministry an idol. Anything can become an idol when it takes the place of having a relationship and a dedication and a worship to the one true God. And one of the things that he's going to have to teach here to his Jewish brethren, he's saying, listen, there's going to have to be a change of mindset. I'm teaching you something here. I know it's brand new for you. And the Jewish thinking, I know this is different for you, but I want to tell you what's taking place. When, notice, let's go back to the text in verse 2. The woman is bound by the law as long as they are married, but she is loosed from the law of her husband when there's a death. And what Paul is going to teach here through that, as he says in verse 4, he says, wherefore, because he's pointing back to the last two verses. He says, brethren, you also, you became what? Dead, freed to the law by what? The body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. Who are we married to now as believers? Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ. I am married to my Lord as the bride of Christ. He's the other. And the reason that I'm no longer married to the law and bound under it, okay, because it does not bring life. I like what one said, the law is to reveal, it is never to redeem. And I would take it a step further for sanctification, ladies and gentlemen. The word of God, the law is there to reveal, but it is not to revive. The only thing that can bring life to the Christian is the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit having access to my heart and my life when I, going back to chapter 6, when I know, when I reckon, compute, hey, I've made up my mind, I belong to the Lord. He bought me, and Holy Spirit, I'm yielding to you. Let me tell you one thing. The law is going to be fulfilled. The law will be fulfilled perfectly, even exceptionally and beyond when I'm yielding to the Lord as a Christian. I don't have to worry about checking off a list every day. I don't have to go and worry about these checklists that I got to go through. Did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do this? But I'm telling you, when I am filled with God's Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you are going to fulfill the law perfectly. You're going to fulfill it perfectly. And there are times when I get in the flesh and I violate the law? Absolutely. But you know what? That's not the law's fault. And that's one of the things he's going to point out here, because some of the Jews are going to accuse Paul. Paul, you're saying the law's sin. You're saying the law's bad. Paul said, I'm paraphrasing here, but Paul said, I said no such thing. And that's why he clarified, listen, I'm saying the law is holy, it's good, and it's just. But he's saying there's a purpose for the law now. Now that you're a believer, the law is a mirror. You know, when James talks about for the student of God, for the Bible, you know what he refers to the Bible as? The perfect law of liberty. Isn't that beautiful? When you study the Word of God, that's the law of liberty, and you know what he does too? He brings up the analogy of a mirror. And when we look into the mirror of God's Word, the law of God's Word, it's no longer our enemy. And it wasn't even an enemy before, but the idea, I'm no longer married to it, but what it's doing now, we have a different relationship. I'm not married to it, I'm not bound under it, but you know what it's going to do now? It's going to help me. It's going to be my guide. I like this. The law is no longer my dictator. It's my detector. It was my dictator. Okay? It hovered over me. I never could match up. I fell short every time. And I realized that. But when I came to Christ, through His death, I was separated from the law. I'm dead to the law. And now I'm alive unto Christ. And when I live my life for Jesus, yielded to Him, He's going to fulfill the law perfectly. In fact, He goes beyond. You know, for instance, you know when the Bible tells us in the law, it says eye for an eye. What? What else? Tooth for a tooth. You know, it's got these different ones set forth. Well, you know, when we get saved, you know what Jesus does? He takes that to a whole nother level. He says, love your enemy. He says, when he hits you on one cheek, what do? Turn the other. That's the newness of life. That goes beyond the law, but that will only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not just coming from a checklist. That's just not coming from me trying to set a set of rules for myself. No, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will lead me to fulfill that law perfectly. And it's beautiful. And you know what? It takes away the burden. I don't have to go through life just burdened down by the law. No, the law is my friend. The law is a guide. The law will show me when I'm off. Hey, when I look in the mirror of God's Word and it shows me some things in my heart that are off, that's a good thing. Hey, when you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, I hope you don't smash the mirror. The mirror is just telling the truth. The law is good. It tells the truth. The law is spiritual. But I have a different relationship with it now. I'm not married to it. I'm married to Jesus. And my focus is no longer following the law, although I don't, you understand. I hope all you understand from the things I've said. Don't ever put down the law of God. It's good. I like what Brother Rogers said. He said all the thou shalts of the Bible are for our protection. Okay? No, all the thou shalt nots are for our protection. And all the thou shalls are to say, make yourselves happy. What I've given you. The law is a good thing, but I'm telling you what, I'm not married to it. I'm not bound to it. God will use it in my life, but my focus now is Jesus and Jesus only. Because He came not to destroy the law. Mark it down in Matthew chapter 5 verse 17. He came not to destroy the law, but ladies and gentlemen, He came to fulfill it. That's what He does. Let me draw your attention just for a moment. I got like just a few moments here. Can you go over to Galatians with me? Notice Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Notice the law is mentioned so much in this wonderful book, but I want to point out one specific thing about the fruit of the Spirit. That is, when we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, He's going to produce that life of Christ. Notice what it says in verse, let's begin in verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Please underline this next phrase in your Bible. Against such, there is what? When we focus on being filled with God's Spirit, when we make the point of our life to yield in Him daily, saying, Lord, fill me afresh. Live your life through me. And when you are filled with God's Spirit, there will be no law against you. Because you're going to be fulfilling it by the life of Christ. That relieves you of a burden, of a taskmaster. The law is now not your dictator. The law now is your detector. When you're getting out of line, the Lord will use the law to say, hey, get back. Get back on track. You're getting off course. But the fact of that matter is, my focus is letting Jesus live His life through me. I like what one said, the new life is all the loveliness of Christ being lived out through us by His Spirit. All the loveliness of Christ being lived out through us as believers. Now, I want to tell you here, I want to be very nice here. If you're here today and you've never been born again, there's no way that you will ever be able to have enough good works to fulfill the law of Christ. It never will happen because it's an impossibility. There has to be a death. That's the point. There's got to be a death. People, there was a lot of religious people, and it still happens today. They say, look, I'm going to have my religion and that will be sufficient. And Paul says, listen, you need to take your religion and let it die. There needs to be death. And then there will be life. The life of Christ. Chapter 6 talks about the operation of the new life, the death, burial, and resurrection. Chapter 7, Paul is bringing out some opposition to the new life. The flesh will try to, and self will try to fulfill the law. And ladies and gentlemen, that only leads to frustration. And then chapter 8, he's going to talk about the operator of the new life. And the operator, the theme of chapter 8 of Romans is the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it's illegal in the state of Georgia to be married to one person and then go and supposedly get married to another. It's called bigamy. It's actually a felony in the state of Georgia. And what Paul is saying here is that there was a time when you were born in this world, and there was a time up to the time of your salvation, you were married to the law. And it would be you would be an adulteress. You to consider yourselves following the law and doing the works of the law in the sense of trying to keep it to maintain your salvation and your sanctification and also trying to let Christ live through you, it will never work. The one dies and the one other lives. And I'm married to Christ as a Christian. You see, as we're going to look back in our text here, notice with me here in my closing remarks, Romans chapter 7. We see here that we are raised up with Christ so that we can bring forth the fruit unto God. Notice in verse 4, I have underlined in my Bible, fruit unto God. I have in verse 5, fruit unto death. Simply by following the law in order to appease God through salvation or sanctification, it's fruit unto death. But when I'm living the Spirit-filled life, ladies and gentlemen, and when you are, the Bible says there's going to be fruit unto God. Eternal fruit. And that's the point of verse 6 where he says, now we should serve in the newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. It's in faith, not in effort. Is there effort? Yes. But it is with the faith that God is going to do it through us. As we mentioned earlier, there's no law against the Spirit-filled life because Christ fulfills it through our lives. I just want to remind you this morning, as a Christian, you stand on victorious ground. You don't have to be bound. You're no longer in that legal binding of the law, that binding power. It was lost at the cross. And my sanctification every day always goes back to the cross. And that's Romans chapter 6 where we hear of that. You know, one of the questions I've had to ask myself on this is like, how do I know as a believer whether or not I am functioning in the flesh or in the spirit when I'm trying to do right? And I believe the Lord gave me a verse on that. And He gave me a thought on that. And I'm sure there are other indicators. But I'm going to share one with you that I think refers to this newness of spirit as opposed to the old letter, as we see, as the oldness of the letter. And it's this. When my walk with God is delight and not drudgery. When my walk with God is a delight. When I delight to do the will of God, when even it goes against my grain or my flesh, like, Lord, You are so worthy to me. I love You, God, the blood You shed for me on that cross, the agony You experienced on my behalf, all that You experienced for me, Lord. You were perfect. You were sinless. I was hell-bound, hell-deserving. Lord, You did that for me. If I'd have been the only person on the earth, Lord, You would have come just for me. And I delight to serve You in these days, Lord. And I delight to yield to You and just let Your Spirit do it through me. But the moment, folks, when we start having drudgery in the Christian life, like it just becomes a hard task. A hard duty. Do you know what we're acting like? We're acting like we're married to the law again. And it is not a good taskmaster. And as he's going to point out here, it's not the law's fault. Okay? There's nothing wrong with the law. But what it is that law will bring out our sinful hearts. That's what the law does. The law says, oh, look at you. How many of you here, I wonder, I'm not going to stick a show of hands, I'll get myself in trouble. How many here go the exact speed limit? Please don't raise your hand. I I don't know if anybody in Jackson County goes the speed limit. Maybe a few, but you get on 129 and the speed limit's 55. And some of you members, Pastor, I know you don't go the speed limit. I try to. Sometimes. Depends on the context. But you know that speed limit's 55, but you know most of us in here, I know some of you are some strict rule followers and you do well in this, and I commend you. But most people see 55, you know, they think, I go 57. 60's fine. 70? Hey, you better watch them arcade police. Hey, them boys don't play. They get you. That car scares me every time I go by it. I love those guys. They're good guys, but man, they scare me. Why do they scare me? Because I ain't going to the speed limit. But that's what the law is. The law, there's nothing wrong with the law, but the law shows us where we fall short. But I want to tell you something. That's just an illustration. In the spiritual life, the commands that God gives us, and I believe specifically in most of the context is talking about the Mosaic Law. I believe he's talking about the Ten Commandments. You go through all those. The way that I'm going to fulfill those laws in my life perfectly are going to be the times when I am yielded completely to the Holy Spirit of God. And he's going to be doing it through me. I'm just a yielded vessel. I can't do it, but he can. And that's the newness of life. And I get to have a delight. Lord, thank you for letting me serve you today. That's when you're being filled with the Spirit. That's when you're living the life of the Spirit. But what we're going to do here is we're going to look at some reality in our next message, because Paul gets into that, says, but what about when I'm trying to do right and I still want to do wrong? What do we do? Well, you'll have to come back next time and listen to that message. Would you bow your heads?